Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new
experience.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man. You got a question for RLM?
Yeah,
it's time to get some answers, baby.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Rebecca L. Norrington. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing with your friends. Thank you for sharing with others about the show. The show is growing every single week, every month, every year. This August is my 9th year. Can you believe it? 9th year hosting Reality Spirituality. And I remember when I started, oh my goodness, I couldn't even put two sentences together to last 5 minutes. But since then, the show has grown. I've grown. I've had guests. I just want to say this is what life is all about, the evolution, the growth, the expansion of each and every one of us from inner. Anyway, scratch that, but just welcome to Reality Spirituality. Today's show is a topic that I've covered more than once because it keeps coming up. This topic keeps coming up daily. It is a topic that I could just study for the rest of the end. There's just so many components to it because it is so deeply ingrained and programmed in each and every one of us about what is serious in life. So we're navigating through life, we're experiencing life, and there's countless, millions and countless of things that happen, and then we get to determine, this, or a better word, we get to judge what is serious and what is not serious, and that's today's topic. But before I get to today's topic, I just wanted to share, if there are any new listeners out there, Who the hell am I? Who is this Rebecca L. Norrington, happiness specialist? Well, years ago, I, like everyone else, all I wanted to do was to feel good. All I wanted to do was to be happy. And I went on this search to find happiness, and I thought, and the search, this is the thing, the search was always out there. The search was always, what can I do? What can I experience? What can I achieve? The search was always something out there. And lo and behold, my dear audience, lo and behold, I was on the wrong path. Scratch that. You're never on the wrong path because there are never any mistakes. But I was not on the path to what I was looking for. In other words, what I was looking for was very elusive. I would find happiness for a minute or 2 minutes or a minute. Say going, this is so cute, I thought maybe if I traveled to a certain spot, I'd be happy, or something, maybe I got a job title and I'd be happy. But what I found was that... no matter what I say or what happens, I'm going to find my happiness and I'm going to find my peace, regardless of what kind of drama comes in and out of my life, and especially purposeful drama. I'm laughing because there may be someone that calls in. I do have a guest in the studio, and it's topic about how what it means to have that serious vibe. But let me just go back to my definition of happiness and who I am. My definition of happiness is to be able to be at peace, to feel contentment, regardless of what happens and regardless of what doesn't happen. And I'm going to share with you what happened just in the last couple of minutes. I'm going to share with you in a second what that was and what made me just laugh out loud. You know, let me back up. This happiness, what I found is it is a practice skill like anything else. Whatever you practice, you're going to get better, you're going to get better, you're going to get better to a point where, wow, give you a quick example, learning how to drive a stick shift. You know, when you first start driving a stick shift, especially if you've learned on hills, it takes a while to navigate the shift gear, the brakes, the gas, the shift, the gas. So, but with practice, you don't even think about it. It becomes second nature. It's the same thing with the practice of wanting to be happy. And it is a practice. Happiness is a practice. And the more you practice and the more you commit, not the more you commit, the more you practice and then you put happiness as a priority and you commit to that priority, your life, things that happen to you, you will be able to look at the same situation, the same issues, the same circumstances. Let me give you a perfect example. And the number to call in to speak with me live is area code. We have about 6 people in the queue, and you're welcome to ask me questions. Just press the number 1, and I will put you through. The guest call-in number is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. Getting back to if you've listened to the show, you've heard this before, but it's very important to express that when I say happiness is a practice, it is an ongoing practice. Audience, I'm sorry to say, but the practice is never over. The practice is in every single moment. And the last couple of days, what a great platform I have. When things happen, let me just tell you what happened the last couple of days. I have my son visiting with me, and that's why I was laughing. When he visits and he's visiting me on the same day that I do reality spirituality, you know, it's not that big of a deal. It's not that serious talking because I've been talking on the radio or on the podcast forever, and I, you know, this is my topic, and I can sail through it. But one of the things the last time he visited, one of the things I said was, you know, when you get into a zone, I don't know about you, but maybe before you have to make a speech or if you have to go on stage, I have to get into a zone. And I usually, you know, a couple of deep breaths, I quiet myself, you get into the zone, okay, I'm going to start the show. And the last time my son was here, I said, okay, before I start the show, can you please just go into one spot and stay, or not stay, but, you know, I need a specific area. I need room to emote. And this particular time, because my son is really into drama, haha, I know you're listening, son, really into drama. So while I started the show, this wonderful, wonderful young man is walking down the stairs, walking in front of me, walking behind me, pacing up and down. And that's why I was laughing, which takes me to another point of what subtracts from happiness. The practice skill, there is a formula. There is a formula for happiness, and it never includes anyone else. It never includes your partner. It never includes your neighbor. It never includes your son, your daughter, your significant other, your husband, your wife, your mother, your father. It never includes any of those people. This happiness is a one-on-one job. So I cannot, what I practice is, scratch that, I cannot, what I practice is all of the responsibility is on me. There is nothing that this wonderful young man up and down the stairs, back and forth and back and forth, I'm not going to focus on any of that because I'm responsible for my own vibe. I'm responsible, and it doesn't matter what I requested or what I said or what I asked, because if you ask someone and they don't do it, see, that's the thing. That's a dark circle to get into. When you start asking people to do something, what happens is now you have expectations on their behavior. And if they don't do what you've asked, now you got a big problem. Now you're upset. Now you're talking about it. Well, I asked you to fill in the blank. That's why this thing about making sure that you are responsible for everything, all of your, when I say your emotions don't depend. My son has nothing to do with how I'm feeling. So what, he walks by. He can start walking by and just pacing back and forth for 20 minutes. There are things, behaviors that subtract from your happiness, and there are things to practice that are going to add to your happiness. And one of them is noticing or focusing what anyone else is doing. But the topic today is, and having expectations of anyone else to do or say or act like you requested. So one of my practices, many practices, is not asking anyone to do anything for me. If I want something done, then I will do it. I mean, if they ask me, can I help? Yes, I'll have a whole list. But to say, will you please make sure, especially during the beginning of the show, that I have a little quiet space at least to start off. And if I don't get that, then what? Oh, I'm supposed to wah, wah, wah? No, but back to today's topic. Today's topic, and I'm going to go to the callers. I have a few people that want to be live. Here we go. Today's show is about what's so serious. And I've talked about this. This has been a topic on the show for a few segments because it is important to discuss. It is important to remind. Friday, and my son was here, Friday, around 6 p.m., I started to have severe stomach pain. And there's a difference between digestive issues. Maybe I ate something spicy, or maybe I ate something that didn't agree with me, or maybe I ate something that was like, you can feel the difference, but this particular pain was not, it felt different than just a digestive pain. And as I sat there feeling this pain, and I'm thinking, okay, what is this? And it was getting worse. And the pain felt, I'm trying to describe it. It felt like there was a boulder in my stomach, and it was rock hard, solid hard, and it was excruciating. It was so bad that it helped. I couldn't stand up straight. If I stood up straight, it hurt more. So the position for the most comfortable, the position that I found that was the most comfortable, that offered the less pain, was if I bent forward, and so it was slumping forward, and it just felt a little bit better. Not a lot better, but it felt a little bit better. So now I'm feeling this pain, and I say, well, usually, what is it? So I took a couple of ginger tablets. I took one of my digestive tablets, and it just got worse and worse to the point where I knew I had to go to the emergency. Now, my son was with me, and one thing that I know about him is that he worries. So I knew that I had to say, okay, I'm having a problem, but do not worry. And here we go with another telling somebody else what to do or how to feel. I said it, but I knew that me saying it is not going to change anything. So what I did was I just had to stay in my own zone. Was I worried? I was in a lot of pain. But the worry, there's a difference between worrying. There's a difference between worrying and surrendering. There's a difference between resisting and surrendering, and there is a vibe to it. So there was a point where I said, you know what, I'm just going to have to surrender to this pain and just experience it. But I didn't think I would have to experience it for 7 hours in the ER. Let me go to my... So my point was this. My son was with me, and before anything, and I'm going to bring him on in a second, but before I was able to go into a room and get the drugs that I needed to calm this pain down, it was a few hours. It was at least, well, I know to get in to see the nurse and then to get the IV. They started the IV, but there were no drugs attached to the IV. So it took, I don't even remember, it was because I wasn't paying attention to time, but maybe about 2 to 3 hours just to get an IV, and then later on it took another 3 hours just to get into the room and another hour to get through. But, okay, regardless of that. As an example of what I teach, as an example, the practice is, the only reason why people worry is because they lack trust, period. There's no ifs, ands, you can't debate it. If you worry, you lack trust. And one of the things that I practice all the time is trusting. And the only reason why I can practice it and trust is because of the evidence in my life. There is evidence that when I do trust, everything just seems to work out. It doesn't work out the way I thought. It doesn't work out the way I planned. It doesn't work out the way my ego may want it to. But there is proof in my life that all of the turmoil, all of the challenges, all of the ups, all of the downs, there is an order to it all, and there is a reason for it all. And the reason is for my betterment, for my growth. But let me bring my son on because I'm sure he has a different perspective than my own. Let me bring on Nathan. Nathan, welcome to Reality Spirituality, and thank you for walking across my path this morning about 10 or 15 times, even after. Just thank you. Welcome to the show, Nathan.
That lovely welcome.
Hold on a second. Let me see if I can hear you. Okay, say that again.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, I can hear you now. You're welcome. You're welcome. Okay, so the topic today is, let me do this again. Do you have anything to share about the walking back and forth in front of me while I was beginning the show?
I'm very, very sorry for disturbing you.
What? Hold on a second. I can't hear you. You know what it is? I can hear you because you're close. And I can hear two voices, so I can hear you, and there's a delay.
I see.
Okay, no, I can hear you now. That's okay. I'm going to work through it. Okay, so back to your sorry. You can put your sorries in a sack, honey, because in my audience, here we go. Because the thing about sorry, and I totally get it, but the whole issue with it doesn't, you don't need to say you're sorry to me, and you don't need to thank me. One of the things that I always talk about is any other entity, either they can apologize, they can compliment me, they can insult me. I hear it and I don't hear it, but I do appreciate. Thank you for your sorry. Thank you. Whether you said sorry or whether you didn't say sorry doesn't matter, because I'm still responsible for how I'm feeling, regardless of what you do and regardless of what you don't do. So let's talk about the seriousness one of the things that, while I was writhing in pain, I looked at my son and I looked at him. I looked at him right in the middle, and I don't know if I had tears in my eyes or what, but who knows what the face looked like. But I said to him with a lot of force, "Even this isn't serious." Do you remember that time?
I do remember that.
And what were you feeling when I said, "Now listen, let's really set it up. This is a young man who loves, who cares, who has compassion for his mother more than anything." And we joke a lot, but he is really a compassionate, caring soul. And so my pain, I'm not going to talk for you, but I'm feeling that my pain affected him. I mean, who wants to see their loved one in pain? So when I was in pain and I said, "Even this isn't serious," what did you feel with that?
I felt softening. Like, we use that word sometimes. I felt like a little tension released from me, and that was the main thing I felt.
And throughout the, would you like to give your side of the story or your perspective of the story of how you experienced it?
Sure. There's a lot to it. I mean, there was a lot of experiences. There's a lot of softening moments where I felt very, like I was taking things really seriously and they felt heavy. And there were some moments of softening and lightening up and shifting my perspective. So it didn't feel so heavy.
Let me get specific then. Because one of the things that happens, and in fact, I was texting, I have a few friends here that are nurses, and I was texting one of my nurse friends, and she said to me about being in pain, because she's going, you know, everybody goes through some different health issues. So I was talking about, and I was talking about being in peace even though I was in pain. And she texts me back and she says, "How can you be peaceful and you're in pain?" No, she said, "How can you be happy and be in pain?" Because, you know, I am world happiness specialist. And I said, "Not necessarily happy when I'm in pain, but I definitely can be and feel peace when I'm in pain." And I've given this example before. I mean, you're in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean and the waves are crashing and there's a tsunami and you have all the turbulence on the surface. But when you go all the way down, when you dive all the way down to the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean where there is no sunlight, you know, the animals don't have eyes, the fish don't have eyes, there is peace always at the bottom. So getting to connecting to that peace, it's connecting to that peace and being that peace in all circumstances can help or aid you with relaxing and letting you know that there is nothing serious. Because whatever happens, whether I have an appendix, because I was thinking my appendix was going to burst. You know, I'm reading up, you know, pain, excruciating pain, what happened, loss of appetite, vomiting. Oh, I forgot I was vomiting. And it all seemed like I had an appendix that was going to burst or a gallbladder that needed to come out. You know, the ego will put a lot of things on it. The ego will give me a lot of stories, and the stories are always these doomsday stories. So when I was feeling all that pain, and listen, it did not feel good at all. It was very excruciating. The worst pain, it wasn't the worst pain I felt. The worst pain was having you, Nathan. That was the worst pain, meaning physical pain, not emotional pain. Let me be clear. But that was pretty up there 2 days ago in the emergency. Seeing your loved ones, and this is the thing. If you were ever in a situation and you're with your loved one or somebody you really care about and they're in pain, what can you do? Is there anything that you can do to help them? That's the question. And so my answer is offer them that vibration of peace. by being the vibration of peace. And then, because every individual is different, ask questions. What would you like me to do? Because the individual that is going through the pain, that we're so different, we're as different as our fingerprints, all of us handle pain differently. One of the things that I'm going to ask you, Nathan, and you brought it up later, is about feeling a lack of control or feeling like you had a lack of control. So can we go to how did that lack of control feeling, how did that expose itself while you were watching me, witnessing, sitting next to me, having all that pain?
I think it exposed itself, lack of control, because just like what you said, you know, if I'm experiencing a loved one in pain, what can I do? There are certain things that I could do, and there are certain things I couldn't. I could ask, what do you need? I feel like that's under my control. I feel like my vibe, bringing a vibration of peace, being peaceful, I think that's under my control. But the waiting time of where we're at in line is not in my control, or how you deal with pain, or what you to do with yourself, or sitting down, or that's also not in my control. Really, nothing anyone else was doing, whether they were a doctor, a nurse, or you, you know, nobody is, no one else is under my control. And there were so many people around moving parts that I got distracted with focusing on other people. Really, you know, I really have control over is myself.
You know what was interesting to me. So we're in a packed free. I mean, it was packed. That lobby, that emergency room lobby, was packed with, I don't know, looked like 20 people at least, 30 people. There were a lot of people in there, and it was one of those nights in the emergency in the ER where ambulances were keep coming in, and that's why, even though I was in a lot of pain and making a spectacle of myself, moaning and groaning and bending over and rocking back and forth for hours, not for minutes, but for hours, one of the things that I told Nathan is, you know, being in this much pain, now I can't focus on my inner thigh. I have a little pull in my inner thigh that hurts, and I can't focus on my foot that hurts. My foot didn't hurt. My inner thigh didn't hurt. So the focus shifted. The other thing is the people. I'm telling you, if I wasn't in that much pain, I could look at every single person in that lobby and put a judgment on them, put a label on them, talk about, you know, make a determination of what kind of person they were. And I couldn't focus on any of that because I was in so much pain, because my focus was on feeling less pain or doing whatever I could to feel less pain. And I'm just going to say this, one of the things that Nathan said to me, and I love the fact that he's so honest with me, he said that I was an emotion, what did he say, a drama, what did you call me? A bitch that was with a lot of drama, and because he was looking at me as causing a lot of drama, causing a lot of attention. And right, Nathan, can you expand on that? Why did you feel that? Not why did you feel that way, but you're labeling me that. What? Well, can you? Expand on that. And let me say this. When my son calls me a dramatic bitch, trust me, I don't take it personally. It doesn't hurt my feelings. It's his description in that moment. And that's another thing that adds to happiness, is not allowing any words to either make you feel good, make you feel bad, hurt my feelings. This kid kid insults me all the time, and it is hysterical. When you lighten up and you don't think something is so serious, you can lighten everything up. So the dramatic bitch description was funnier than hell. I think I even laughed when you said it, even while I was in pain. Please add to that, Nathan, and thank you for the compliment.
You're so welcome. Well, I was in a lot of pain as well. And and just like I told mom yesterday or a couple of days ago, you know, she was the one going through the physical pain, and I definitely don't envy her for that. I don't wish that upon anybody. I really don't wish that upon myself. But I was experiencing emotional and traumatic mental pain. And when I said that about you, it's, you know, it's just like that character in the Dr. Seuss book we were reading, and do I know what you were doing? Do I know your intentions or how you were feeling or your thoughts? I really don't. So when I call you dramatic or you're being dramatic, that's my perception, that's my perspective based on that moment. So who knows if that's true for you? So it really, I really can just turn all around on me, and maybe that's the part I was focused on, or that's my perception. So it's, I think looking back, I think certain moments in life do feel what I would call dramatic or heightened, maybe a lots of vibrations. And some moments feel very low vibration, neutral, calm. And I think that moment, you know, we talked about it being a Penske moment. I think that those hours spent together was like a heightened, you know, if we were to write a play, we would put that story in because it's got some juice to it. It's got some drama to it. And calling you dramatic was really my way of calling that moment dramatic for me, or dramatic meaning just heightened
right.
Emotion.
Well, let me say this, because I just have to throw this out because you hit on a lot of different points. Let me say this. One of the things that, and I know it's very difficult, I'm sorry, audience in advance. Audience, I'm sorry in advance. Okay? I'm just letting you know. You're not going to like this. But whatever you put on someone else, dramatic bitch, angry, they're prejudiced, they're racist, or whatever label you give someone else, you're really describing yourself. You're always describing yourself. And that's why nothing is personal. When anyone says something, it's not personal. It never is. I don't care if they call you if they say your name. You are a dramatic bitch. It's not about me. Nothing that he said was about me. And the thing with that 7 hours, 8 hours in the ER, the whole night with the back and forth with the nurses, and then Nathan was, listen, concerned, why are you waiting so long? This woman's in pain. Why can't she be helped? All of this is a lot of pressure, a lot of stimulation, a lot of things happening. So that's when the practice comes into play. See, we talk about all of these things on reality, spirituality, but now in the middle of a life with a concentrated moment, now the practice comes into play. And the practice is always about having expectations or trying to control anything you have no control over. See, wanting to get in a room quicker than I could get in the room, and I'm going to get frustrated over that, is not going to help me. It is the thing that I have, that I practice, or I talk about practicing, is being at peace with anything I don't have control over, and I mean anything. And it's just a waiting out. It's a waiting out. It's like any kind of moment, you just wait it out. Because all moments pass. They pass. And I didn't know when I was going to get my morphine, but I did get it 7-8 hours later. But, you know, and Nathan, you taught me that with the time when you have experienced things, and you always tell me, this moment is going to pass. It's going to pass. It's not always going to be like that. Now, while I'm in the middle of it, and back to this question, when my friend that is a nurse asked me, she says, how can you be at peace when you're in pain? Well, if you are at peace and you practice being at peace throughout your life, every single day and every single moment, then even if you are in pain, you are still at peace because that's what you've practiced. It has become your identity. One of the things that was really interesting, and let me say this. Hold on. I got to put my left hand up here because I'm not walking around here like I didn't break down. I was practicing peace, hour number one, hour number two, hour number three, hour number four, hour number five, six, seven, and I don't know what hour it was, but after a while, I broke. I was, all right, I got something. And the first one, I don't remember all of the things. I'm sure, Nathan, you can help me with some of them. But I remember one of the first things is now it's a Friday night. That Saturday morning, I was supposed to start a brand-new Aqua Boot Camp class. Brand-new class. Had never been taught before. So much hype. Advertised. People were coming. Flyers were passed out. And I'm in the emergency room. So I had to let these people know that the class either had to be canceled or had to be subbed. That was just going to happen. I'm talking, it was 3 o'clock in the morning. The class was supposed to be taught by me at 8:30 in the morning, and there was no way. I mean, I'm hooked up to an IV. I'm in pain. So I had to get that message out, and I had to text the supervisor. I actually had to text two separate people. And, of course, my phone, when I was texting from the inside of the hospital, my phone came back, message not delivered, message not delivered. So now I need help. Now I need either help from Nathan, can I please use your phone, or can I go outside? Well, there were a couple of questions Nathan asked me about using the phone, and it's all on me, and it wasn't good enough because I just wanted him to say, yes, you can use my phone. What do you need me to do? But that's not what happened. So I said, well, you know what? I just have to do it myself. And then I wheeled myself out. I didn't wheel myself out. But I was wheeled outside. But now I'm hot. Now I'm bothered. Now I'm, oh, gosh. Just help me with what I want to do. I'm asking one thing, But see, now I've got my issue, my problem. It's nothing to do with Nathan. It's nothing to do with him asking me questions about the phone. Absolutely not. My vibration was changing. My energy was changing, and it was all on me. But the big thing about that, when I say energy change, I was hot. I was barking now. Now I'm barking. I'm barking out orders. I'm barking out with that energy. Now I'm barking. And so, but the thing with me is, what I also practice is not criticizing self. I am not criticizing myself if I get from this vibration of peace and I'm, yeah, come on, hey, the world is crashing and I'm peaceful. Or I start barking and the peace is still there, but the barking is louder than the peace. I get it. But even with that, there is a peace in me barking myself. I'm going to be okay with whatever I do, however I say it, when I say it, if I don't say it. And that's another component to being at peace, regardless of what happens or regardless of my behavior. So, Nathan, how do you feel when I start barking and start, you know, something's got to shift. You know what I'm talking about, and my audience does too. What were your feelings? How were you feeling, or what were you thinking about during those moments? You don't like when I bark. I already know that. And, you know, not a lot of people do. Not a lot of people like barking or being barked at. But I like that word, bark. It's a cool word. It's better than being angry. Barking and angry, same thing, though, audience, same thing. But, Nathan, how were you, what were you processing? What were you going through when I was barking?
I also like that word, barking. I think angry works. It's a different vibe than angry, because the bark, you know, just makes me think of a dog, and we talked about the bark versus the bite, and barking is, well, it's very loud and might be aggressive on a volume way, but nothing's really happening. The bark is like a warning. It's like when a snake hisses versus if the snake's biting. Those are two different things. So you weren't, or at least how I view it, I left that word bark because it doesn't feel like a bite, but it does feel like a bark. And for me, sometimes the barking, the bark is enough for me. The dog doesn't need to bite me. I'm already running the other way. That's not just with you. That's with any bark, or even the Wizard of Oz behind that thing, and he has the megaphone to change his voice, and he sounds like he's 100 feet tall, and he's really a little man. Yeah, that Wizard of Oz shit works on me. So, but not all the time. And I think when you talk about being peace and being peace, I think in those moments, it really helps me to check in with that piece, because then I'm able to see, is this really a bark or is this a bite? And I think because I was confused and I really didn't know where my piece was, or at that moment, it was coming in and out, it felt like a bite, and that's how I treated it. So I handle it different ways. Sometimes I cower down and I'm quiet. Sometimes I bark back. Sometimes I get emotional. And watching the doctors, you know, everyone handles patients differently in that moment. And what I thought, if they were talking to you the way they were talking to you, sometimes they, or you even said, it's like they just seem really cool, or they didn't let it affect them. And I thought that was interesting. So for me, I think it's really good practice for any time in the world that I feel like, okay, this person might be barking at me. And I think that's just really helpful for me, so that I can sort of stand still in my peace. I don't need to think that I'm being bitten, or think that, basically, you know, going back to your original topic of, is it really that serious? Is this bark really that serious? And I think a lot of times, maybe it doesn't have to be serious. Maybe it is a danger moment. But for the most part, 9 times out of 10, it's probably not a danger, serious moment that I need to feel afraid or like I need to bark back or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. You know what, Nathan? I'm going to ask you a question because I'm going to have to call back into the show. So I would like you to take over the show just a little bit, or I'm going to ask you a question, and I'm just going to have to call back in really quick, and I'll be back in probably less than a minute. But I want to ask you a question about yesterday, and what were, and I can listen to it, but I'm going to have to call back in live. What were five things that bothered you about yesterday, about the whole experience, me in the emergency room, you're with me side by side, the hours and the hours. What are five things, if you can, five things that really bothered you about that whole experience? And I'll let you answer.
All right. Okay. All right. Hello, audience. Well, now if we can just talk you and me. Five things that bothered me. Well, it's really hard to pick just five. There's a couple of them. And the way I'm feeling like bothered is five things that I just didn't like. We talked about preferences and five things that I would prefer to be different. And trying to answer this five things that bothered me, there were so many. We talked about control, and I felt like I felt upset that I didn't feel powerful enough to get her in the room fast enough. I felt like if I was someone else, or I looked a different way, or I spoke to the nurses a different way, I would be able to rush her in. And I was thinking about like these hospital shows and those moments. Get her in here. She needs help. Even this one guy walked by when my mom was buckled over, moaning and groaning. And then this one random guy looked at me and said, "Help her." And I thought, I don't know what to do. So that moment bothered me. That's one.
Hey, Nathan, you know what I want to say is I heard what you said when you said there are only five things. That was really funny.
Right. And that's why it was such a rich night of things and moments and little stories, little mini chapters and a whole chapter. I really want to write some things down so I don't think I forget them. But yeah, so many little things.
One of the things, and now I'm in the middle of all of this, and I think the audience, you have a perfect picture of what happened. And one of the things, you know, as a mother, I'm thinking, okay, teaching moment, practicing moment, all of that stuff. So one of the things that I did want to tell Nathan is, number one, I'm in pain. It's not that serious. And then the other thing I wanted to do, because it is who I am, is to get to a moment, even in between, is to find something to laugh about, or find something to joke about, or find something to be light about, something that is going to vibrate something that isn't serious, because that serious vibe, the serious vibe is heavy. The serious vibe is you cannot be serious and peaceful. Oh, this is serious. It just doesn't work. It's like oil and water. It just doesn't mix. So I knew that, and that serious, and when I say I knew it, it's what I practiced. And when you get to a point, so there are a lot of things. And then I said, now we're talking, I'm trying to think of something funny. And there were times throughout the night that you said something funny, I said something funny, and we both laughed. But one of the things we came up with, I don't know if you remember this, is you said, no, I said, hey, Nathan, at the end of this, we're going to have a little skit, and you're going to play me, and I'm going to play you. You're going to imitate me, and I'm going to imitate you. Now, here's a woman who's bent over, rocking back and forth while I was walking up and down the lobby, and it was a spectacle. I was the only one with this big curly hair walking up and down the lobby. And so Nathan was going to play me, and I'm going to play him, being the person that just walks around in circles.
Nobody looked like you. Nobody looked like me. And you did get a lot of hair compliments that day, if you do remember.
I do remember. One of the things, and it did lighten us up. There were a lot of times humor always lightens up serious. But the question is, do you practice
humor. You practice being funny in the middle of serious.
Well, that's what I think.
With the audience, that is a big practice. I don't care what it is. I don't care. It doesn't matter. Can you be light? Can you practice fun, lightness, a joke? In fact, people tell me that there are certain things that are serious and certain things. One of the things Nathan was sharing with me about a book, he said the book, and there's two, it was about two things. Things that you give a fuck about and things that you don't give a fuck about. And then I said, my book would be about I don't give a fuck about any of it. So it's the whole, can you be light? Can you be light? And can you make a joke in the middle of the storm? That's the question. And to practice that. See, if you practice that in every moment, and even when you don't even have to get to the major serious moments, the emergency or surgery, major serious, but if you practice that throughout the day, then it's going to be a practice when you hit those tsunami moments. Question, so do you practice that joking, like even if you're feeling a little barky, it's a good practice. Can you please, would you like to add to that?
Yeah, I would like to add to that because it was game time. I like, you know, we can practice that moment to moment, and then in those moments when it really does feel serious for me, then yeah, I think that you asked one thing that bothered me. It did bother me that you said it wasn't serious, and then I'm thinking, but it is serious. So that story was so strong for me, so strong in the perspective of seriousness. I was so sure that it was serious that I was thinking, wow, I'm so far from lightening up or something funny. Not all the times. We did have a lot of really fun moments. There was one time where he came in, a doctor came in and says, you guys are having too much fun in here. So there was those laughing moments. It just showed me where I was at with seriousness. And
you know, when you said to me when you were talking about this book, give a fuck, don't give a fuck, and I said there's nothing you give a fuck about. See, that is the whole, that's the starting point. So, audience, if you think out there that there is things that are serious, global warming, animal rights, any causes, oh, the cause is serious. Oh, the recycle is serious. Oh, any cause, anything that you seek is that you think is serious is going to subtract from your peace. So when you stand in that place where nothing is serious, it is just an experience. But let me hold on a second. It's not your fault, audience. It's not your fault because we were programmed to believe, yes, there are some things that are serious. Yeah, you get your arm cut off, you're paralyzed, it's serious. But it is the program that you're fighting. Not reality. There's a difference between reality and the program. So the program is going to fuck you up every single time. And the program teaches that, yeah, there are some things that you give a fuck about, and yeah, there are some things that you don't. Yeah, there are some things that you're serious about, and yeah, there are some serious things that are not. And I say, as the happiness specialist of the world, there is nothing that is serious. There is nothing in the universe that's serious. Nothing in the universe is serious. You look out in the universe, the explosions of planets, the making of planets, the dying of planets, the forming, whatever. There's nothing in the universe that's serious. So my practice is to be an example or be the universe in a human form. So I have a question for you, Nathan. This is a great question. Do you still think that there are certain things that are serious? or are you coming over to the dark side with your mama?
Well, I'm really glad you asked that. And I have a double question for you. And then just a quick note, it does feel a little muffled sometimes with your phone, just a little muffled. My question to you is, what do you mean when you say serious and you say nothing is serious? Do you mean even if it feels serious, just know and you believe that nothing is serious, and you try to remember that when you have a story or something in your head, you're thinking, oh, this is serious, but you're so practiced in knowing and believing that really nothing's serious, that it's a good reminder?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. The practice
sometimes
of nothing
is... Yeah, because... So I would say, if for me, if I'm really feeling, because in certain moments, you know, we talk about the ego, and it just really feels like this is true and this is what's actually happening. So for me, if I'm really feeling like something super serious, that's a clue for me that maybe I'm in an ego moment.
Not maybe. You are.
Right. But when I'm in one, it is a little confusing. Well, I it's not confusing. But we know how it is when we're overtaken with the stories of the ego. It really feels, it's like I know it's not serious, but I almost can't help it. What is that? When it's like, I know, but I can't do it right. I can't do it like that right now.
What a great, great, great statement and question. And I have the perfect answer. This is going to be an inside story audience, backstage pass audience into Nathan and my relationship. I'm going to share with the audience just a little bit. Very short, very short. So just yesterday we shared, listen, Nathan and I have been through so much. We, of course, come on. We've had our turmoil, we've had our arguments, we've had our fights, we've had our struggles, we've had our challenges with each other. I mean, come on, the kid's 34 and I'm 52. I'm older than 52. Anywho, I heard that. Anywho, so what we've done is one of our stories was when I moved from California to Oregon. It was a 2-day trip, and we rented a Penske truck, and the truck was a 26-footer. And that whole road trip, it was a 2-day road trip, so Nathan and I are riding each other's company. He can't run from me. Well, I don't run from him, but he definitely runs from me. But he couldn't run from me because he was stuck with me. We're on this 2-day trip. So we call all of our turmoil, all of those moments, we call them Penske moments. We call them the Penske truck moment. So the emergency room story is a huge Penske. It's our latest Penske moment. And one thing that you said yesterday about Penske, Nathan said, Mom, so you're saying when we have these Penske moments, after that, everything is going to be even better. We're going to even grow more. We're expand more. We get to another level of consciousness. In other words, those Penske moments are the best moments, the greatest moments, even in the storm, even if you feel in the middle of it, it doesn't feel good. But you know, right, Nathan? You know that those Penske moments are going to produce, you know that the Penske moments are going to produce something so good, so rich, so much fun, memories, looking back, lessons, growth. You know that. So it's the same thing with serious. You know that there is nothing serious. It's the same thing. So when you practice integrating that, the practice of knowing that there's nothing serious, it's the same knowing about the Penske, same kind of knowing. When you practice that, It becomes your identity. It becomes your way of life. And life is easier. Life is flow. It's not that you don't take care of business. It's not that you, well, nothing serious. Oh, fuck it. But the vibration of nothing serious is what is the practice. What are your thoughts on that?
I really like the idea of remembering in those moments, okay, that we're going to come out of this. You said something yesterday that was really nice, that we're going to get through all of our Penske moments. And I don't know if you said get through, but or maybe you said there's going to be silliness afterwards. It's going to be fun afterwards. It's not just getting through it. It's actually there's going to be good stuff that comes out of this afterwards. So I really like that. I like that because it might not be here yet, but it's coming. And we made jokes this morning about ordering things from Amazon. Okay, so we order something from Amazon we really like. It's going to be great when it gets here. And it's not here yet. Maybe it's on its way. Maybe sometimes orders are delayed. When is it getting here? Well, it will be here. We just don't know when. So I like that. I like remembering that it's ordered. Okay, Penske truck, our Penske moments, our good moments, comfortable, joyous, fun, they're coming. They might not be here right now, or maybe we get little bits of them here and there. That's a good reminder.
You're giving me chills here because now you're bringing up another component to this peaceful vibration. Now you're bringing another component, and this is a big, big one component, and it's called patience. Without patience, look out into nature. There are nobody's rushing around unless they're being chased by another animal. There's nothing impatient about nature. Nothing impatient. Impatient is a man-made behavior. Babies, when they're growing, listen, when your baby comes out, hey, hurry up and start walking. Hey, hurry up and start eating. Hey, hurry up and start feeding yourself. Hurry up and start dressing yourself. But we don't hurry up and grow some teeth. But we don't look at the baby and say, hey, hurry up, baby, hurry up, baby. We allow the growth of a baby just to happen. And that's another very important component of peace is patience. Patience when you are in the middle of a storm and you're feeling that it is serious, and your ego has you by your ass, and he's ragging you around and throwing you up in the air. But patience, you know. I know underneath. I know that the serious moment, number one, is going to pass. Number two, I know that the serious moment, I can change my perspective and say it's not serious or it's not that serious, or maybe I can find some lightness in the middle of the seriousness. But I'm going to have patience, universe. I'm going to have patience. How can I have patience, universe? And that patience, see, is another one that we were all programmed to be impatient. I want it now. I want it yesterday. When is it coming? Well, that impatience is another practice. Practice patience.
Yeah, I feel like patience, I think that time is real. Like it does take a certain amount of time for a tree to grow. It takes time to walk from here to there. But how we view time, and I don't have enough time, or my joyous moment should be right now. Well, like you always say, man, it's not time. It's time for me to do this. It's not time for me to do this. It's time to make a joke. Maybe it's not time to make a joke. So I like that time is real, and then our idea of time and how we treat it or how we react to it or thinking we're rushing or we're taking too much time, you know, that is all the story part of it.
Yes, yes. All the stories stem from the ego and created from the ego. But let me throw back, and I want to, there's two more things, and then we're going to end the show because this is great. I can't believe it's already an hour. But there's two things I want to say, one about time. There is no such thing as time and space. And in fact, time thing, not having enough time, is another program, is another man-made. There is nothing. There is, and I'll give you an example of how I think it. Because, okay, so a star in the universe dies, and it becomes dark. But the star in the universe that dies, I'm looking at the star, and it's light because I'm here on Earth. So when that star finally dies, it has died years before I see the dark. Years before. I'm looking at it, and I don't see when it's dying. I look at it 4 years later. So the time in the universe, there is no such thing as time. I'm looking, there are so many dimensions. So what am I going to, I'm going to limit myself to this time thing on Earth? Oh, there's 24 hours in a day. That's what I'm going to do, 24 hours in a day. No, my view of time is going to be the same as the universe. And time is eternal. I'm energy. I am going to be eternal. There is a certain amount of time I'm here, but that doesn't govern. The time doesn't govern my behavior. I only have a certain amount of time. Time doesn't govern my vibration. That's what I want to say. So this time thing is a tricky one, wasting. There's no such thing. In my world, there's no such thing as wasting time. There is what happens. Everything happens when it's supposed to happen. And if it's not happening, it's not supposed to happen. There's no such thing as, I'm not going to allow my vibration to go up and down based on time or man-made time. I got to get back into here. Hold on. I got out. Now I'm back. What are your thoughts on that one?
You know, okay, yeah, right. Time, I don't want to. My only thing is that if I am feeling, say I'm in a mood, say I am angry, I just want to, like you say, allow myself, okay, I'm angry for however long I'm angry for. That's the way I like to use time. Or I'm happy and I don't really know how long I'm going to be happy for, but at this time I am.
In this moment, this is about moments. It's not specific time, but it is about moments.
And also, I do have that plant at home that really, really, it needs more water than the other plants. So when I do see it wilting and the leaves are down, I know it needs water, so I give it water. The leaves aren't going to just shoot up in 2 seconds after I give it water. It does take however long the plant takes to go from leaves down to leaves up. And that's my only thing with honoring time, is even though I might want to be joyous or I want to be peaceful, if I'm not in that moment, it might take a long time, it might take a little bit of time, but it does take time to go from here to here. And just honoring that, or just, it's just true.
Accepting that. And yes, it does, of course. But my point is, the amount of time it takes or the amount of time it doesn't take, the time, small time, big time, has nothing to do with my vibration. Nothing. And the last thing I want to do is going to be a little fun thing. So this, you know, we talk about Penske or traumatic. This morning, Nathan said, I'm taking control of this day. Today is going to be a different day. This is going to be a good day. Because it's going to be a different kind of day. And then Ben, so we did this joke of what to order on Amazon. So I said, so Nathan had a lot of things that he was going to order for me on Amazon. One was a ladder so I could walk, so I could climb down from my high horse. That was my favorite line. I love that line. And then something else I needed, something else. I mean, he was giving me a whole list. Can you remember what you gave me a list about what I needed?
I thought you could have used some humility.
Oh yes. What else? I love that. Humility, yes.
Humility, I don't know. Maybe just a glass of water.
Glass of
food,
water, humility.
Sitting down,
relaxation. Yes, you let me know what I need. And then I was typing in, pretending to order something on Amazon, and I said, one thing that you need. And the audience, the answer was nothing. See, this criticizing or looking at stuff, there is absolutely nothing that Nathan needs to do, nothing he needs to get, nothing he needs to accomplish, none of that. He needs nothing. He's perfect exactly. I want to use that word. He's perfect. Where he's going is perfect. Where he's been is perfect. Exactly where he is. And that's how I feel about myself. That's how I can say that about someone else. All of the spirituality and thinking of me is heard every Sunday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. You can email me at RLN. No, you can email me. Well, you can email me at RLNsignature@gmail.com, or you can email info@RebeccaMorrington.com. And I'm available for weekend retreats, for seminars, for talks, for workshops. Just contact me. Audience, thank you for listening. And as every week, my website is RebeccaNorrington.com. Follow me on Twitter at RLNorrington. My Instagram handle is Reality Spirituality. YouTube channel, I do have a few YouTubes on the YouTube channel. You can search for me, Rebecca Norrington, or Reality Spirituality, Rebecca Norrington. My first book, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, can be purchased on Amazon.com. And my second book, Program for Unhappiness, I'm currently writing, but who knows when that's going to be finished. And until next week, my dear audience, I want you to remember who you are. You are a physical extension of the universe. You're always evolving and you're always changing. Love is kind and love is patient. Be kind and be patient to yourself. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. It is about the journey. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality. Have a conscious week, and thank you for listening.
Yeah. Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Oh, love to spirituality.
It's the newest spirit. Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man. You got a question for RLN?
Reality, spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Hello? What's up?
You have anything else?
No, that was really good. Thanks for our reality spirituality chat. It went by really fast.
Okay. I love you. Ayo, and goodbye, and talk to everyone next week.
Bye, everybody.